You might like to turn. You might like to turn in your Bible to Matthew and chapter 6. And as we have taken a short departure from Jeremiah, and we have stopped in Psalm 23 and verse 4 and 5, and therefore, in the light of that, so that as we proceed, as Jeremiah has to proceed when it all comes to an end in Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, he has to proceed forward. David had to proceed forward in his grace, and therefore, surely goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life. But, so, keeping in mind as we try to keep it in perspective, here God deals with us. And in Matthew chapter 6, God, getting just a little bit to see it, remember now, we share together that God, everything, we are made of the dust of the earth. And being made of the dust of the earth, we are dust, and we go back to dust. And dust isn't very, very mighty and glorious. And we share together in Isaiah 40 that God sees the nations as a drop in the bucket, as a piece of dust. So, and we need to be in perspective of what? Well, and we share together so that we see it, the reality of it. We looked at the little ants down there, and the little ants are busy, doing what they do in their world, and they do it. But they are totally oblivious to what you do. They're totally, it's out of their reach to understand Washington and everything else. All they have is just where they are. But the reality is, ants, you need to know, us humans exist above and beyond anything you ask or think. And we need to turn around and look up at the angelic world, a whole spiritual realm that we can't even come to grips with. And we look up like the ants. And we have to understand, the ants need to understand us more than them. We need to understand there's a whole realm, the spiritual world, that encompasses our little ball on planet Earth spinning around. But we don't see it. We don't see it. We know it, but we don't see it. We don't understand it. It's powerful, because angels move through those zillions and zillions and zillions of light years like that. Six 6 trillion miles. How to travel? Get enough gas, electric car you need, to go 6 trillion miles down the corridor of time. Can't even imagine it. Can't even come to grips with it. And then God, over the angels, over the ants, over us, and there's God in his magnificence. You need to don't lose that. And we share together, just so you see it, remember again, so we don't lose it. Here we are, and when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God saves us, but he saves us. He leaves us as we are, dust, our old nature. He leaves us just like this, in that, like little ants. But in the same breath, he brings to us his wonderful person who is in charge of everything and over everything. So in Christ, something wonderful has happened. This realm we can't come to grips with. God has brought it to us in his wonderful person, in our Lord Jesus Christ. So having brought that to us, we're able to understand by God's word his awesome movements that we'd never know. Close the Bible and put it away, and you don't know beans. You don't know beans about God and pantheism and all the other stuff. You'll never even come close without God's word, without God coming and dying on the cross. Now, having said that, Matthew chapter 6, God tells us we have a unique relationship to God. It illustrated verse chapter 6, verse 7. When we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. In other words, if we count, turn the prayer wheel 5,000 times, if we count the beads 7 million times, if we say something over and over again, that'll impress God in some way. God said, no. No, it doesn't. Verse 8. Therefore, be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't do that. For why not? For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So, you don't have to do that. The little ants don't talk to us, and us little ants, us humans, God is going to go and bring himself through all the angelic world and everything else to us in a most wonderful way. Now, when God does that, it's very personal, very wonderfully personal. The world system, John 1:10, doesn't even care or know him about God. But as many as received him, they do. Therefore, Matthew chapter 6, what about the world? In verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, of ye, O ye of little faith? Shall he not do that? Verse 31, therefore, don't take thought, be divided in your mind in 10 different directions, trying to figure it all out. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? In other words, we're trying to survive on planet Earth. That's what we're trying to do. Verse 32. For, why not? After all these things, do the Gentiles seek? For your Father, your heavenly Father, knoweth that you have need of all these things. God knows that. So it isn't a question. I need to talk to God about my needs. He knows my needs from start to finish. He knows them. What am I going to do then? I'm going to look to God. Not going to worry and want or wander. I'm going to look to God. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you're going to look to God for the outworking of his goodwill in your life on planet Earth. And there we are, remember, little cups again. God's going to outwork his life. And you're saved, if you're saved, believe him. God's going to outwork his life like that. Now, and therefore, verse 34, we're looking to God. But we're living on planet Earth, and we still have our old nature. So here we are on planet Earth, God's still going and outworking his goodwill. He knows that not a little sparrow can fall to the ground without him knowing it. He knows every hair on your head. That's pretty personal. God's personal. But we're on planet Earth and we need to be looking to God. Verse 34, take heed therefore Take therefore no thought. Don't be divided in your mind all over again. For tomorrow, don't worry about it. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Just going through your day in the light of your old nature, in the light of this, God's working it out one day at a time. There's enough problems today without trying to add to them, because you haven't even got, and you know from James and that, who are you to say? Well, I'm going to do this tomorrow, and I'm going to do that. And we can say all those things. But when we're done, remember James says, God reminds us by James. What's he say? You do not know what tomorrow is. You haven't even got there. So don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know it. You can plan it and do what you do, but you have no idea about tomorrow. God does. Now, having said that, little background, back over, if I can, in Psalm 23. And remember, we shared together. Here's David. David's walking, verse 4, in the valley of the shadow of death, darkness, and evil. He isn't getting out of it. It's there. But he isn't afraid, because God is with him. And God is with him in a very special way. His rod and his staff, they comfort him, as we did and looked at him. Not only that, God prepared a table before him in the presence of mine enemy, his enemies. So here he is in the same world that we is, all of us are, but he's outworking his wonderful will. And add to that, on the table, God anointeth my head with oil, fatness, fullness is the word, and God is going to make me fat and full. So at the table, I have everything I need. I have all sufficiency. I'm not empty. I'm not half empty. I'm full. And then to tie that together, David said, then you know, what else do you know, David? My cup runneth over. My cup runs over. My cup is full and it overflows. Back again to your cups. My cup overflows. What God is doing, sufficient today is the enough evil. So I'm not working beyond and today, work through it. God help us. So what are we going to do? And God, you're going to go and my cup is going to be overflowing. It's overflowing, full, overflowing. And we shared together that little word, to be saturated, to be soaked, to be drenched. You can't get any, the sponge can't get any wetter. God is going to drench the human heart in the water of life, in his wonderful person. God's going to give them his fullness so that it overflows. Now, that's what we looked at, verse 23. My cup overfloweth in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And we looked at it so we could see this understanding, the cups. We looked at Job. God blessed God. Job was a blessed man, and God blessed man, and God allowed the devil to test him. And he tested him from head to toe. He tested him. And Job, God allowed the problems for Job, but God was allowing them. God was the devil's after him, doing everything he could possibly, physically and otherwise. And God is going to go and outwork that. And Job, what are you going to do? And God does a wonderful thing in Job. But the evil, chapter 6, Matthew, verse 34, sufficient of the day is the evil, the trouble thereof. It's enough problems. Job, it's enough problems. But God is faithful to be and be who he is in a most wonderful way. and God's going to go and bless him. That's what he's going to do. But he's going to test him. He's going to allow the darkness, the valley of the shadow of death, to be the shadow of death. He's going to let it be dark and evil, which it is. But in the process, the fatness and fullness and the cup overflowing is going to be there. What do you mean? Well, the answer's there. Here we are. Here we are. But God over us, the angels, and then God is over us, doing what he does. Doing what he does. Who he is. It can't be otherwise. It's impossible to be otherwise. Because the earth and all of the stars and creation are just a little dot in the middle of God. God is God. And the earth is only a temporary thing for God to do a wonderful thing in making it possible for us created in his image and likeness to know him and enjoy him. God's going to put a new heavens and a new earth for what? To get rid of the old. No more old. Going to get rid of the old in order to forever honor God and enjoy God. Creation. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, look at me over, if you would, the light of that to get a little exercise now quickly. Psalm 66. Israel has to exercise. And Psalm 66, you're going to remember. And picking up, if I may, if I can, verse 10, 66:10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, put us to the test. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried, put to the test to clean it, to get the dross out of it. Thou broughtest us into the net. God allowed them to Egypt and everything else. God allowed all, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, God allowed it all. Verse 12, thou hast caused men to rule over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out, and remember it, into a wealthy place. The word wealthy, overflow. My cup overflows. A wealthy place. God had to take him to learn to enjoy that God, your heavenly Father, knoweth what your need is. So don't be going and trying to get all wrapped up in everything. You're going to look to God and trust God. David, Israel, you have to learn. So God led them and has still letting them going through what they're going through even now. But ultimately, they're going to learn. Boy, it takes years to learn. But they're going to learn. They're going to trust God at the end of the tribulation in a wonderful way. Now, having said that, he leads us into a wealthy place. Therefore, verse 13, I will go into thy house, God's house, and with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. That's what I'm going to do. I owe you, God. I owe you. Wow. Sliding over now to put that together, the heart. Listen, look at the heart of this dear believer. Verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. Wow, come and see it. I'm Israel. God leads us into a wealthy place. God brings us into where we see. God is busy over us. We can't see him, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We look to God. It's all there. We don't have to see it. We just know it. Just automatically know it by faith. Now, verse chapter 66, verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. In other words, I had nothing but praise to God, nothing. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God has been very gracious to me in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, putting that together, and you remember, God gives overflowing. And hang on to that as we do it. Just think of Peter, 2 Peter. God, what are we going to, the world's going to, chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15. What did Peter say? God, they're going to ask you, the world's going to want to know why you are not worried, why you're not caught up in the evil, the darkness, the death. Why aren't you caught up in what's happening? Because you're going to ask your reason. And you're going to be, the believer is going to give a wonderful answer because of the wonderful hope. What is that hope? Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm going to give an answer. It is, I don't see it. God understands. God's over. God's doing. That's what he's doing. And I'm here. I don't have to see him. I just know. That's what God tells me. And it's obvious. It's obvious to us. We're obviously over the ants. And obviously the angelic world is over us. The electronic world, that alone, is over us. The electronic world is way over us. Way over artificial intelligence. You can't see it. But boy, you put it together. There it is, doing all that stuff. Wow. But we can't see it, let alone now God in the spiritual world. We'd certainly know it. We'd be stupid if we didn't think about it and understand it. Now, having said that, if I can, over to Psalm 116. And then Psalm 116, picking up, here's the believing heart, and if I may, sliding if I can, 116, oh, go down to verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. In other words, there's nothing good, nothing's working out. But, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I looked the world around me, and they don't see, but then I looked at God, Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek ye heaven, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. And the word salvation, deliverance, salvation, rescue, God's readiness to care is in the plural. Salvations, deliverances, rescues, God's caring, constant caring is over us, looking at to help us in every way. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take of the cup and I'm going to drink it. I'm going to take it. This is the way I really am. Think of what you're doing on Sunday morning. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. No, I am this. And I am this, saved. And I take and drink of all that God is letting happen in my life. 6:34. And I'm going to do it because God's out working. My Father knoweth my need before I ever ask him. God knows way, way ahead of me. So God, I'm going to look to you now. And having said that, looking to that, slide over if I can to Psalm 42 again. And in Psalm 42, picking up if I may, and going, you know all this, all I'm doing is rehearsing it for you and for myself to lock onto it
God's one God. I'm going to drink of the cup of God's saving grace, plural, God's wonderful caring, God's wonderful deliverance, etc. And God's going to, I'm going to do that. And sliding down in the midst of problems, verse chapter 42, Psalm 42, verse 3. My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? They're looking. And I don't know how to answer them. I'm going through whatever, but I don't know how to answer them. So what did I do? I didn't have a big debate. I didn't go into a state of depression. I didn't get discouraged or depressed. Well, I didn't do that. Well, what did I do? I went to get to God into the sanctuary. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. And then I understood. I said, God, to myself, talking to myself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why am I all upset? Don't I have a heavenly Father? Isn't God greater than our, isn't there something over the ants? Isn't there something over the humans? Isn't there something over the angels? Yes, God. Why am I cast down? Verse 5, O my soul, why art thou disquieted, all divided up, anxious in me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. For, remember the word help? That's the word salvations, Psalm 116. I'll drink of the cup, I'll take the cup of salvations, God the deliverances. Here we are, 42 and verse 5, the end of the verse. Help, deliverance, the help, and the word countenance is the word face. God is going to help me, deliver me, rescue me of and by his countenance, his face. God is going to be an ever-present help. Sliding over to verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, they never seem to stop, where is thy God? And I say to myself, you can say whatever you want, but I'm going to look to God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Verse 11. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health. Remember the word the same as in verse 5, help, the word salvation, salvations. Salvations, he's the salvation, he's the deliverer, he's the rescue, he's the one who's caring. God, I will yet praise him, the end of verse 11. He's the health, the deliverer, the rescuer of my countenance, of my face, and my God. The end of verse 5, I'm looking at God's face. The end of verse 11, I see my face. When I looked to God, I knew. The minute I lifted up my eyes, and God, you can't do better than yourself. You yourself made it very, very clear. What did you make clear to us? You said you were from heaven, and you're a wonderful person, put on a human house, and then you told us, without any blinking of an eye, I'm here now to save you, and I'm going to go right back to where I was. That's what I want to do. Now you can fool with tomorrow and death and the future, but the Lord Jesus, who came out of forever and goes back to forever very comfortably on Calvary's cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He's very comfortable. And as long as he's comfortable, there's no one else ever, ever on planet Earth that can help us like he can. There is no one. There's no one that defeated death and then talks to us. Wow. Now, hang on. Having said that, so God, you're going to change our face. That's right. And slide over to 32, Psalm 32. And you will notice Psalm 32, picking up, please, directly in verse 14. David, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. A table before me, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." God, Psalm 42, I'm looking at you, and you know what you're doing. And you told me, us New Testament believers, look at it. We have a Heavenly Father who knows. And we look to you, our Father, what are we doing? And when we look to you, what happens? The whole thing changes. It all changes, God, when I look to you. Now, and therefore, verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." God, I'm looking to you. You're very content and delighted to be who you are. And I look to you in that. When I catch it, I see it, God, make your face to shine unto me. And my face begins, First Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, etc. And show the God's wonderful hope, the wonderful expectancy. You're going down the corridor of time. Wow. And now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, back over, if you would, please, to Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, picking up, if I may, and you will catch it. And now, having said that, having that little bit of thinking about it, and if the whole thing, David, as he delivers this to God, before God, and God has him write it down, as he did with so many things. David, what are you doing? David, as he's older now, and he looks at experience, he's overwhelmed. Overwhelmed in the whole, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's overwhelmed. He leadeth me in the valley of the shadow of death. I've been through it, I'm in it, but God has kept me. God has kept me this far. God has never disappointed me. God never disappeared. God never stopped being God. No, he was always God. And I understand. I am overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed with his table, his fatness, fullness. I'm overwhelmed with his cup overflowing. God is doing what he's doing in and around me, no matter. God's doing it. I'm overwhelmed. What's the little word to show that? Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, surely is the little word I just described. David is overwhelmed. Surely. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming to me to know his cup, my cup overfloweth. God knows. It's overwhelming. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God, it's awesome. And therefore, you're going to come up with what, David? David said, listen, it's your goodness and your mercy that is there to get me down the road. That's what's kept me all these years down the road. So God, we're looking to you to do what you do in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And so the cup overflowing, surely, surely goodness and mercy. Now God's wonderful, wonderful grace in his most wonderful and wonderful way, God's wonderful working. So we have goodness. Goodness, the word to shine, to be bright, to be beautiful, to be pleasing, to be joyful. Something is good. It's fit. It's what it's meant to be. It's what it meant to be. It's meant to be satisfying. It's meant to fit in. It's good. It's good. God is good in his awesome, wonderful person. God is good. He's a good God. not bad, good. What he creates, he sees it as good. Slide over to Genesis 1. And you'll catch it right off. In Genesis in chapter 1, if I can, you'll see it. That which is pleasing, God did it in God's creative work. Genesis 1, I'm going to pick it up, verse 4, seven times. Verse 4, God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God did that. Verse 10, and God called the day, called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters, called the seas, and God saw that it was good. It was good. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. It was good. Verse 18, if I can, and you'll note, I'll read it, and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, God created the whales and every living creature that moved upon the waters forth abundantly after its kind, and every winged fowl after its kind. And God saw it was good, good. Verse 25, God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle, and every after the kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw it was good. Everything had a wonderful, wonderful purpose. It was a delight to God to do it. It was good. It was the thing to do. It was suitable, fit, good, beautiful, shining. It wasn't discouraging. It was meant to be good, beautiful, to make it come out just like it's supposed to. Therefore, when we come to the end, verse 31, 1 and 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was very good. So all that God created is very good. Sin came along and loused everything up. As it were, when Adam and Eve sinned, they caused problems, to say the least, in all of it. So now, having said that, God, everything is good in a most wonderful way. Now, God, what are we going to do? We're going to go and look to you. You're going to do what you do in a most wonderful way, and you're going to help Adam and Eve. You're going to help Adam and Eve and then us. What do we need to know, God? That I want you to understand everything is good, Adam. And I want you to understand it's good, everything. I want you to enjoy the good of God. In order to enjoy the good of God, you've got to honor him and honor his word. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. Don't eat of the tree of life. Don't eat of it. Verse 17. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, I should say. The tree of the knowledge, there is the tree of life. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You're going to die. I want you to enjoy good 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I want you to enjoy the purpose, God's wonderful creative purpose in everything. That's what I want you to do. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will lose that, and you will see the other side of the coin. If it isn't good, what's the opposite of good? Evil. When God isn't there, when something isn't good, but God made it good. So I want you to enjoy good. How can I enjoy the good? By looking to God who is good. And you're going to have to be saved down the road, a corridor of time, by to enjoy God's goodness. That's what you have to do, because there's evil. What do we read in Matthew 6:34? The evil of the day is enough for you. What do you want to do? Hunt for some more tomorrow and next week and next year? You can pile it up. It's there. He leadeth me in the valley of the shadow of death. That's what it is. He's full of darkness and death and evil. Now, don't. But God is good. And so in the midst of your journey in time, in the midst of your journey as you're going, you're able to go enjoy God's wonderful saving grace as you get down the corridor of time. You're able to do that. And God is good. God wants you to enjoy the good, not the evil. Not the evil. Surely, said David, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It has to help me. God's goodness, God's wonderful goodness. God is good. If Adam and Eve had never eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all they would know is good. When you get to God's holy, happy heaven, everything, this is gone. Everything is good. There is no more evil. You'll enjoy a timeless goodness, 24 hours. That's, I'm going to get 24 hours. Timeless. You'll enjoy eternal good, never evil. But right now, you done got it. You done got it. So now you got to go. God and David. What's so exciting, David? When I looked up and I understood that God, in his wonderful caring, in his wonderful saving, in his salvations, in his caring, in all that he was doing, rescuing me every day. And all I had to do was worry about one day and trust God to get me to the next day. Isn't that what you do? How do you do it? How do you get your heart to beep already, to beep? Get your heart to beep. How do you get your heart to run tomorrow? You don't. Fortunately, you would wear out pretty fast. You just have your heart beat 1 second each moment, and that's all you live. You can't get ahead. You can worry about it and think about it. You can't even put together going out the door if the Lord tarries. You don't even have that. You think you do, and it all things being equal, you probably will. But only God knows when you go out that door. Only God knows. And what are you going to do? You're trusting God as you go out the door. One moment at a time, sufficient is enough. And therefore, you know we've got to close. But in the process, keep in mind that God, and remember, don't get sidetracked, but remember now, God, what are you going to say? How are humans going to do it? Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. We're going to go, woe unto you, humans, because you go and call light darkness and darkness light. You go and call evil good and good evil. You turn it all upside down and you never get to the good, because you're always upside down and you don't enjoy good. And God is good.